AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
When I clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me?
That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing.
So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Does a robot know you like a neighbor?
Insurance Corporation will fulfill request to cover anyone, anything, anytime, anywhere, with most standard algorithm, in the order it was received. Please hold.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting the insurance coverage you need always starts with a conversation. Find a Farm Bureau agent at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Yeah, madness.
Boy, this is episode three. No, shit, it ain't. It's not. I'm mixing them up. This is the Euros podcast, Fighting Cop podcast. Who we're covering the Euros because what else we're gonna fucking do? Joined by Majestic and Gazza from the Same Old Spurs podcast. How you doing, boys?
Oi, oi. And you know what? It's great that Gazza's finally. He's not gonna kick off on a voice note to me now.
Look, mate.
I've had a couple.
I am just so happy that you finally allowed me on this show.
It weren't nothing to do with me. It was Matt's gang. Can you not?
I blame Match.
I think that it's just worked out beautifully that it's on a Saturday afternoon. It means that Gaz is around.
No, let's not make excuses. You didn't want me on.
That's true. Majestic kept sending me messages going, can you just let it be just me?
It's all coming out.
Just want to say, absolutely, like, it's mental because when you reached out, Madge, and you talked about Same Old Spurs and all that stuff, and you came on the podcast, I didn't really fully appreciate when you mentioned you were doing this song with you remixing Rasputin by Boney M, and I was like, it didn't really occur to me that what would happen following that. I've got my kids coming up into the kitchen singing rah rah Rasputin. I was like, what's going on? And every time it comes on the radio, it's like, that's my mate.
Mate, honestly, it's just crazy. I went golden chili the other day. what was those two really good Chileans in like the late 90s up the top? Unbelievable, weren't they, guys?
Yeah, man. I was saying to Kev, I have to get him a tracker. Geezer's everywhere.
Unbelievable. Absolutely. Well done, mate. Absolute congratulations to everything you're doing, mate. You're smashing it.
We go any further, can this be confession for me, almost like you're a vicar?
Yeah.
Because I've seen Sol Campbell, haven't I?
Wow.
In what way have you seen him? Well, I've seen him once driving past me in a car.
In the flesh, and I've had a conversation with him, and I've got his phone number.
I've seen him in my nightmares.
Yeah. What do you want from me? Do you want me to say that's okay?
I want forgiveness.
No, you ain't getting it, mate. You make your own decisions. Your path is your own. If you want to include, out of respect for you, I won't follow it up.
Do you know what felt good? I told him he hurt me. I literally looked him in the eyes and said, Sol, you hurt me. You hurt me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We do a segment on our show, 2 weeks wages, Flav.
Yeah.
And definitely, Jeff got 2 weeks for that. Absolutely unbelievable.
Well, listen, he's done his cameo for the music video for Come On England, so that's all I wanted.
I know, you're putting together a record for England. That must be a bit of a challenge, really, because there's so many of them are they're difficult to pull off, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, the thing is, Three Lions is the bar, isn't it? And then,
and it's banging.
Then this World of Motion.
Yeah.
So that's it.
What do you rate more? Because I've got to say, like, as something that moved me as an adolescent, I'd say World of Motion was the one. It was quality, absolutely superb. But Three Lions
As a composition, as a record, I think that World in Motion probably takes it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But as something that's got memories attached to it but then again, World of Motion was for World Cup 90. In actual fact, it's probably a bigger deal. We got to the semi-finals of a World Cup, lost on penalties. But I think it's because the Euros was obviously on home turf that 96 that, you know, it was, had so much emotion based on it. Do you think, Gav?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Well, World in Motion for me.
You like John Barnes' bars, that's why.
That's exactly it. And I thought that was sensational. I'm still playing in the car now.
What player would come out now and legitimately go on a track and own it like John Barnes did?
Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially.
I saw that one the other day. Did you see that one on BBC?
What was he buzzing?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
He had a little, I think he'd done a little thing with Micah Richards and he sung a little song. To be fair, he weren't that bad.
What a national treasure Micah Richards is.
Oh, honestly. Yeah, he's done very well for himself.
Coming to his own, isn't he? In this sort of pundit post. Who else is probably had that big of a transition from post-career into punditry that Gary Neville, like, yeah. No one really liked Gary Neville, did they, as a player? And since then, everyone likes him.
Yeah,
even though
he
just says Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson every 5 minutes. He's like, when I was playing for Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson, Manchester United, Harry Kane got Manchester United. Literally, that's just basically what he said.
What he did was he talked about football in a way that most people could understand. I think, like, a lot of pundits, and, you know, this is before Gary Neville, because the standard of punditry since Gary Neville isn't what it was before. And I'll say standard, depends what you like, right? But if, you know, the way Roy Keane, Mika Richards to a certain degree, but I think he's much more genuine, and Souness, they know they have a role to fill at Sky Sports when they're talking about football, and that is to get the soundbite so it can be spread on social media. So,
100%.
Yeah, I think so. And I've got no issue with it. I rate it. And you know, it's give birth to... Have you guys ever heard of All Right Fans? The guy on Twitter?
Yeah, I love All Right Fans. You know, guys, the one that they do the voiceover, like, I got a lovely bit of thing off of Jamie Redknapp and then I smashed a Spice Girl.
There's one of them when he done a voiceover of Roy Keane and Jamie Redknapp getting into it, like, they're going to have a fight. And he goes, Jamie Redknapp goes, we want a piece of this. You want a little move around here? And Roy yeah. Keane, in this own, he goes, you're like a fucking woman to me. I'd love to run you over. It was fucking beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Let's before we get on to England and what's been happening last night and the situation we find ourselves in, I want to get your guys' idea on what's happening at Spurs, because it seems pretty grim at the moment. Obviously, we've lost out on Fonseca, or we didn't want Fonseca, and we definitely didn't want Gattuso. But since then, Jose Mourinho has said that he was misled in some of his previous projects. And he did mention Tottenham, to be fair to him, but you can only... That's the only club he's ever gone to who didn't win anything, which is so fucking apt, it's unreal. But yeah, what do you make of Jose Mourinho's comments? I think he's frustrated by his time at Man United and at Tottenham.
I think probably he felt the same way, Flav, like with Man U and Tottenham, promised a lot of things. I think when he was at Man United, he was after Toby and Dyer and people like that, wasn't he? And he didn't necessarily get the centre backs that he wanted. The money wasn't spent the way that he wanted it to be spent. So I think perhaps he's talking about both clubs there. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think he's probably disappointed at both of those. More so, I think he's probably more frustrated at his time at Manchester United because he really wanted that job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked at Sir Alex Ferguson with a lot of admiration and he wanted to come into that place and have another legacy like him, I suppose, and it never was the way to be. What do you think, guys?
What's that on the Jose Mourinho? Yeah, on the Jose. Look, you know what, Jose Mourinho, just to come off that, just all of a sudden, like, he must be looking at this situation at Tottenham now and be laughing. Honestly, he must be laughing. I know he was. A lot of people say he was toxic for the club and things like that, but some of the people that we've been linked with couldn't lace his boots. They couldn't. Yeah. And that's just a fact. And he'll be looking at this situation and be laughing. But
there's an Italian, apparently, we're after Samino Elidiso.
Oh, God, another Italian. Like, it's just
so you know, Aladiso, aka Big Sam.
Flav, where are you at with it? Because I'll be honest with you, I looked at Daniel. I watched that interview with Daniel Levy, and there was one point that came out of it that I thought, yeah, there's a bit in that for me, and that was the fact when he said that the managers that we've even been linked with, we haven't even spoken to. Like, the media are having a field day at Tottenham at the moment.
But yeah, what I did like what he said was, he goes, you know, I like to do my business in private. Coming from the guy that done an Amazon documentary a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's literally like some geezer that's been in the pub the week before, seshed off his nut, going, I do like a quiet weekend. I like to stay in the family. It's like, mate, you was on the floor of the pub last weekend. This guy is just a joker.
I think he would prefer if there was no football media, unless it served him. I think I feel like... We, as Spurs fans, we're getting, like, you know, embroiled in these sagas that are played out by a press that comes from a journalist who has an agenda to create turmoil at a football club where they may not be any.
Yeah.
But that can only be a falsehood if something good is happening at that football club. And at the moment, nothing seems to be happening. My only hope is that the press have got it all wrong. All the, you know, Twitter journalists and those that are, you know, that work for reputable news outlets have got it wrong, and they're just literally hanging every story that they write on the madness that's happening around football, about our football club. But the reality is I'm sure Daniel Levy's doing something. It's not like he's just gone, fuck, the Conte deal is fucked. What are we going to do now? Someone tell me what to do. That's not happened at Tottenham. You don't get from where we were in 1992 to where we are now in 2021 without a man at the helm who knows what he's doing. It's just that we don't know anything other than what's coming out through the press. We don't get anything. Nothing comes from the club at all. So we just have to sit there and react to what we hear. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, definitely. For example, the Fonseca one. It was so uninspiring when I heard the name. And I'm not being funny. I thought it's such an uninspiring a name to be.
Our mate, friend of the show, Bo, he thought it was the guy that used to play for Juve. He was like, oh, he's a good player. I'm like, no, that's Daniel Fonseca.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it wasn't an uninspiring one. When you go from Conte to Fonseca, it was. But I'm not being funny, Flav. I spent a bit of time doing a bit of research on him. Yeah. And obviously him at Shakhtar, Donetsk, done well there. He went into Roma. I think he got him to a decent height in the league, but then he got injuries and the squad depth weren't there. So that sort of didn't help him out in bits and pieces. But his old character and his old persona and the way he goes about things was sort of a little bit Poch-esque, if you like. He played an attacking style of football. So I could see where Tottenham was going with that one, to be honest with you, after spending a little bit of time reading up and watching a few things on him. But for that to be falling off again, about money, it's about money again. It's like the club, how can you bring a manager into a football club when he's got I think, what is it, a year-end tax thing or whatever it might be, and not say, okay, we'll pay that for you? You're showing no backing to the guy straight away. Well, surely indeed. In a deal like that, you just go, don't worry about what's going on with you financially, we'll get it ironed out for you. The club haven't done that, so obviously they weren't sold on him one way or another.
If only football was as simple as when we bought Paul Gascoigne's sister a sunbed.
That's why
he went to us instead of Man United. He's like, this is, if we buy my sister a sunbed in that man, good Tottenham.
I completely agree. And maybe that was one of the things about the Fonseca deal that, you know, put a spanner in the works. And look at us, we're just speculating. We have no idea, right?
100%, yeah.
But if you you're going in and you've got this manager and you're thinking, right, I'm impressed by him, and then he comes in and goes, by the way, I've got this fucking mad tax thing that you need to sort out. And you're like, we don't even know you. We're giving you an opportunity. You want us to sort this bit out? Maybe that was a part of it as well. I'm not sure. But we've also been linked with Brendan Rodgers again. Brendan Rodgers was the first name on.
Listen, Flav, I'm very, very proud. Very proud to be linked. Very proud of you. Very proud of the podcast. And I'm very proud to be linked once again. But, you know, I love it here at Leicester. You know, very proud of the boys.
Yeah. But can he love it? How much can he love it at Leicester? I'm sure he's proud. I'm sure he was proud at the time he was managing Swansea. I'm sure he was very proud of all those times. But, you know, when an opportunity comes knocking, then maybe
he does seem to go to the bigger opportunity, doesn't he?
When we lost Jose, he was my number one target. But I actually thought him winning the FA Cup would have been a reason for him to actually leave, because I think he'd find it's going to be even harder to get in the top 4, 5, 6, whatever it be next year. He's nicked a trophy there, and I thought, you know what, that might have been his time to just say, okay, another challenge for me. So, but obviously he made some comments after that FA Cup final to suggest that he was going to be staying at Leicester and he was happy there. So then that one automatically goes away, but it's a shame. But for it to come back, there might be something in it. But again, we're back on that press situation, Flav. We just don't really know, mate. It's just linked.
This is it. This is literally setting up sort of talking points for this podcast. I went on to just the news to see what's going around, and it's just full of bollocks. We're producing podcasts. You guys produce the Same Old Spurs podcast, doing the Fighting Cock, and everything we say, every single bit. And maybe Madge has a little. He might know a little bit. Like, he's at Talksport. Maybe he knows a bit more than most of us, right?
No, mate, listen. I want to break the magic circle there. I'll break the code straight away. They know as much as we do. Right. Honestly, like, you're in that building, it's like, oh, we've heard this. Like, I could literally go up to TalkSport and go, look, a good source. I've got a really good source inside Tottenham. And they've told me.
They run it.
They've told me that Jonathan Ross wants the job. Ross wants the job. Welcome along to Spurs, the same old Spurs podcast with Flair for the Fight Cop. We're going to get in some big players like Les Ferdinand. Like, literally, I can chat that much nonsense and it would be a story. Because, again, like you said, because we are producing at a regular rate, we need stuff to talk about. There was a week, the other week, when I was at TalkSport 2, and it was like the day before, nothing. Then the next day it was like, who is Paolo Fonseca? And for 3 hours, I had an Italian journalist on telling me how woeful he was. Then I had what's his name? Chris, who looks like Potch on as well. like, I just had everyone on talking about Fonseca.
Yeah.
Like, so
you've got to fill the time. You've got to fill the airwaves, right? We're putting together this run rule. Let's just break apart the run rule that I've just put together, right? Forget it. Right, what I've got is Jose Mourinho said that he's been misled. Tottenham are apparently approaching Brendan Rodgers. Neither of those things is probably true. And Jurgen Klinsmann said he's open to the Spurs job. Who gives a fuck? Who cares?
Well, Flav, tell Daniel I'm very available for him, you know. I came back, I saved you from relegation. I'm not.
The best thing about this running order is your impressions. You've saved the Fighting Cup podcast right now.
Can we just put Yol in there just so that we can have Martin Yol? Like, Yol just comes back and saves the day. Just like, listen, Harry, you're going to stay. You could be Berbatov one day and then leave, you know?
Well, let's give fucking Harry Kane a job. Give him something.
Harry Kane's going to get a caning on the podcast today because he was woeful for England.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a second. But let's just you know, before we do...
Wouldn't take Jurgen, Flav?
No, I would not. I would not. I appreciate how much he did for us in the... You know, what was it? Fucking...
Not for me, that one.
20 years ago, but no. Not for me. Not at all.
Do you remember his press conference when he came back? He goes, look, you know, I want to save us from relegation, but I'm not Santa Claus.
He did actually. You say that, but he literally single-handedly saved us from relegation. He scored 4 goals. Do you remember?
Yeah,
6-2.
Yeah.
6-2, 4 goals. I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Who else was on the score sheet that day, though, Flav?
Wow. All right. I'm going to say... Hang on a minute. When did you... 90, there must be 96. I'd say Dizel.
Jason Dizel.
Was it?
No.
Let's just say it's not been one of our better players.
Was it Stephen Carr?
It was not Stephen Carr.
All right, who was it then? Go on.
Who was it? It was Klinsmann got the 4, as you say. Sir Les. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And one of the greatest number 8s in the history of Tottenham Hotspur.
Alan Nilsson.
Moussa Saib!
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Moussa Saib.
Moussa Saib.
Jeez.
He came on for Rule Fox on 72 minutes.
Okay, wonderful. I mean,
Nicola Berti in there that day?
I'll just tell you a story. I used to work for what would have been? What was that? 98? Was it 96? 97?
Yeah, I think it would have been.
Yeah, so I would have been working at Woolworths on a Saturday afternoon because that
what
was
a place.
Fantastic place.
Pick a mix
was the one.
It wasn't that. Like, people talk, like, eulogize over Woolworths. Like, it was the best. It was a shit shop.
That's because you worked in it, Flav. I worked at Toys R Us. Everyone was like, oh my God, working at Toys R Us must have been so great. I was like, it was hell. I got $3.95 an hour.
I was paid minimum wage as well. But how well I was valued as an employee isn't where I'm coming from right now. It was shit. The products they served were shit. The people that shopped in there were upstanding people of society, and I respect them fully. All right, let's...
pick and mix, though, Flav. It's all about the pick and mix.
That's what anyone talks about.
It's all about the pick and mix.
Yeah, but we didn't even have pick and mix when I was there. That was an idea.
Where was your Woolworths?
Worst Woolworths ever.
You've got like the little Woolworths.
Crouch End.
Crouch End. Well, that should have been up market.
It should have been, but that's why it went out of business. No one shopped in there, did they? Anyway, let's talk about England.
Yeah.
Because we're in a situation now where we've beaten Croatia. This is a team that you know, knocked us out of the World Cup a few years back, 3 years ago. Just as a side note, I was flying to Portugal to go to a festival when that game was happening, and we'd planned it so that we'd arrive in Lisbon and we'd get to this square where the game was being played or was being displayed, and there was a delay on our flight. We landed, we heard that Trippier had scored, and then we just sat back and watched the misery that happened after it. And yeah, it was shit. But this is a team that we failed against and then had beaten, and it was good, and there was lots of positives. You know, we expected Croatia to put up a fight, and this is never going to be the best England performance. But then we go into Scotland, who are, I would say, a tin pot football nation. Is that fair?
The thing with Scotland, certainly coming there, flat. The thing with Scotland, a bit like West Ham, isn't it? Like when they play, when West Ham play Tottenham, it's their cup final. Like when Scotland play England, like they are doing everything. It's a totally different dynamic. Like the effort and the work rate that they're going to put in the application is going to be on a different wavelength. Do you know what I mean? I think you're always going to get that of them. That's always going to make that fixture tougher than what it should be, really.
Yeah, I was up Wembley for Talk Sport yesterday, and their fans, mate, like you said, is their cup final. Like they were in full Highland gear, kilts with no pants on, the full shebang.
I love it because that's you know when back in the day when Spurs were, you know, in if you use their expression, in the shadow of Arsenal, which hasn't been the case for 10 years, right? But you know, we'd go into that game and we'd give it to their supporters, like on the high road. They would know that they're coming to Tottenham because they were in a situation where they felt elevated and we felt underappreciated. And when the tides turned, it was fucking beautiful, right? We give it to them. We always give it to them. And the same thing with Scotland is they it means more to them than it does to us to a certain degree. And I understood that because I watched the game and I was frustrated and it was shit and we weren't very good and Scotland were better than I thought they would be. But to hear some of the Scottish fans this morning on Twitter especially, it was like, we played Pep Guardiola's Barcelona team or 78 Brazil team. Like they were good. They did more than they should have done, but it weren't like, I don't know. I just felt like they were perhaps
Billy Gilmore's Zidane now, isn't he?
And there was times in the first half where he was getting run ragged, Billy Gilmore. Anyway, look, maybe I'm a little bit bitter. Gazza, what did you think of of the performance overall? Can we go on and do something substantial in this competition? Are we, are we not pacing the group stages correctly, or is Gareth Southgate right in saying we just got to get through?
Look, it's difficult because if that team that was named yesterday, there probably wouldn't have been too many fans that would have probably opposed to it. Everyone's going to have their opinion and their pick on certain players that they want to play in certain positions or whatever, certain formation. But you looked at that team yesterday and you thought, that's a strong team, isn't it, Flav? It's a strong team. You could argue that Maguire, when he's fit, comes back in. But the other places, apart from Grealish, perhaps, that's it. Like that's the team that we've got. I just think the problem that we do have at the minute, and it's quite a big one, is that, a bit like similar to Tottenham in ways, is just like, we've got decent individuals, but we're struggling to find a way as a team. Like, I look at Harry Kane. Now, Harry Kane, he's off the ball at the minute for England, no doubt about it, yeah? Last two games. And what I mean by that is he's back to goal. When he's got his back to goal, his first touch, his movement, he looks like he's running quicksand, everything. He's finding things difficult. But he's got no one near him. Now, if you look at that Mason Mount role, like, for example, you've got two holding midfielders, perhaps, and then you've got Mason Mount, who really, in theory, should be playing closer to Harry as you've got the wide men in Foden and Sterling, yeah? Now, Mason Mount's all over the place, Flav. He's picking the ball up deep. He's going out on the right. He's picking out on the left. Harry Kane had three centre-halves last night. It was easy work for them. England have got to find a way to get the best out of Harry Kane. They've got to get someone close to him and they've got to be playing with him. Because we need Harry Kane. He needs to be firing this tournament or we got no chance. And that's well, just where I'm out of it.
I've got a solution here. Is it, you don't play two midfielders. Don't take, you know, play two holding midfielders.
Definitely.
No, you have Rice.
I think you could easily play. You could easily play. Sorry to come in there. You could easily right. play. You could easily play for me, Mount, with one of the other boys, whether it be Henderson, Bellingham or Rice there. You could probably go to Mason Mount. He's going to have to play a disciplined job. He's going to have to play in that role, not be roaming around. He's going to have to do a disciplined blood job for us in there. Then you could probably bring Grealish to play him behind Harry. Yeah. Then you can go with the wide men. Who you choose wide, whether you go with the pace men in Sancho or Rashford or Foden out wide again or whatever. But that's an option. That gives you one more attacking player going forward. Do you know what I mean? Would you agree with that?
No, 100% agree with it. I think the issue here is that Southgate is being pragmatic. He wants to get the... He doesn't want to lose. He wants to be conservative. He wants to make sure that England are difficult to beat. And he...
But Flav, play devil's advocate with the Southgate one, right? It's always good to have a devil's advocate in the mixer.
Yeah.
Is, especially at tournament football, is Gareth Southgate like having the responsible adult with you when you go into McDonald's?
Yeah.
Because if, like, when you went to McDonald's as a kid, you got the Happy Meal, that was it. You was happy. You got the $1.99 Happy Meal, cheeky burger, little toy. When you go in there as an adult, you're having double cheeseburger sliders. You're going, yeah, I'll have a McChicken sandwich meal and a double cheeseburger on the side. You don't need all that.
Yeah.
But you're still at McDonald's, you know what I mean? So with Gareth Southgate, I think being pragmatic could be a good thing as you go across the tournament. One of our friends, Kai, said to us earlier, you know, you look at Portugal, I don't think they won a game in there when they won the Euros in 2016 in the group stages. You know, you look at
England. The trouble is with that, though, Kev, you play pragmatic and the level of opposition, we're going to get better. They're going to be better. You start playing that way.
Like, he's just ensuring getting out of the group without, you know, because Scotland did possess a threat from set pieces. Set pieces were brilliant. You know, it was like Tierney and Robertson, they're always going to have that threat. So, you know, if we was to get caught on one of those and they've got, you know, a goal or two set pieces, then you're chasing your tail. So maybe there is some level of being sensible, because we all just, especially the talent we've got on the bench, we just want to see us smash teams out of the park.
Maybe we should be doing that.
It's good to get this crap game out of the way.
Go on, Flav. I think you're right there. I think, you know what, that could probably be the best thing for us, because that weren't acceptable. They got booed off yesterday. Yeah. They got booed off at Wembley. That's not acceptable. So, and they'll know that, and the levels have got to be higher.
Harry Kane, the captain of England, subbed two games.
Yeah, he's been whipped off the last two games.
Obviously, you know, I'd like to play better, but, you know, I've asked Gary Neville for a game of golf, and ever since then, it's been downhill. Yeah.
Tough. It's tough. You've got to be at it in this Euros. You've got to be at it. But at the end of the day, we've got another game against Czech, and I fancy us to roll with them. I really do. I think we'll beat them.
Can I propose a conundrum to you? Would you take a Harry Kane bad thigh injury for him to stay at Spurs?
Ooh, what?
He's out till November. A bad one, a proper torn hammy. But we don't sell him.
I think his value's going down. I really mean that. I know that's stupid of me. It might sound silly to say, but this is a tournament all eyes are watching, all around Europe, all around the world. He's been whipped off in the last two games. And what it means for Tottenham is that the number that people are going to come up with and offer Spurs to take him away from us, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, and then we won't sell him. But my question, I think you're dodging the question here, Gaz. What I'm asking is would you wish injury on him so he stays at Spurs?
No.
I would.
That's fair enough, mate. But I just want to, as an Englishman,
I'd say cruciate injury to stay the end of his playing career, even if he's rubbish. I'll take it.
Love that.
Do you love it? I'm not sure anyone listening to this would love that at all.
No.
What I mean is, I'm not saying love it in terms of the injury. I'm loving it, what you're saying, but the passion. I can't see that. Look, we want to win this tournament. We need him, Flav. England need him desperately,
absolutely. I mean, if he's firing, if he's the Harry Kane we know him to be at Tottenham, we know he's the best forward in the world. Maybe only second to Lewandowski, right? So we know how good he is. If he can do that with the players around him, and this is what I'm saying, going back to Southgate and the way he's managing the team, is that he has so much talent, so many players in this is the best, probably the best squad I've, and I would say it was better than maybe the was it 2012 or whenever it was, when Lampard and Gerrard and we had that like the Golden Boys squad, and it turned out we got beat by Germany, 4-2.
No, the Golden Boys squad. I love that one.
Do you remember it though? Like they were like the golden generation.
Golden generation, yeah.
Yeah, but I genuinely believe in this team, this squad, and it's so good. Like that front, like Jadon Sancho hasn't played a fucking minute.
Oh, no,
and he's
hopefully Flav, after Grealish coming on, and he was opening up a little bit, just a little bit. He didn't do loads, but he'd done enough to show for me that he needs to start. Perhaps going into this next game, but again. But you go into this next game, and all they need is a point. So does he then play for them?
Would you introduce a bit of pace? I know we've had Sterling wide, but would you go pace both sides? So
I would.
You can even make an argument for Rashford and Sancho, both sides, Grealish off Kane, with two behind him.
I'm not worried about pace. I'm just thinking about what quality we have going forward. How many good players we've got there? Though like, you could take Kane, like we said, one of the best number nines in the world, right? And probably one of the best number tens in the world. You could take him out of that team and play Calvert-Lewin and be as effective because of the quality we've got going forward. The problem is that Southgate won't do it. He won't. In front of his eyes, he has one of the best forward lines that England have ever had. And he just won't. He won't go 10 toes into it. He will not commit because he's a conservative manager and he just wants to get the results that get us to there. And if he does...
What more can he do, though, Flav? This is what the argument I'm having. Like, what more can he do? Apart from, say, losing one of the holding midfield players, what more can he really do? Because apart from changing the formation up, he's selecting players that people would have said, yeah, okay, they should definitely be starting, i.e. Foden. Sterling, perhaps not. Yeah?
I think but the biggest... Greenwich, just to answer your question.
Do you get what I mean? Do you get what I'm trying to say?
No, 100%. But it's all well and good picking the players, but how are they going to... How are you allowing them to express themselves? And the biggest thing is when we're 0-0 against Scotland, who are ranked third worst in this competition. That doesn't mean a great deal. I get it, right? But we're crying for Grealish to come onto the pitch, and he brings off Foden. What I would have done...
Yeah, that was strange, yeah.
What I would have done, because I make stupid decisions, and I have done through my entire life that got me into trouble, but what I would have done is kept Foden on, taken off Phillips, and just allowed those three players, the most creative players we've had in a generation, in Mount, Foden and Grealish, and just allowed them to play. Just go. Doesn't matter what happens. If we get beat by Scotland, I know it'd be terrible, but we believe in your creativity. Just go.
But we don't know if he's not telling them to express himself, Flav.
But we know. But
that's what I mean. Yeah, I know you mean, but again, we're guessing. I don't think that we don't know whether
he has water with his porridge.
100%.
Water and salt.
It's a difficult one to gauge because we don't know it. We don't know whether he's actually saying to him, look, don't go and express yourself, boys, because I think I'd find that hard to believe. I just think that you've got to be at it. You've got to turn up at a night and you've got to be at the races. And I just think last night we weren't. Simple as that, really. But
yeah,
I know you. Go on, mate.
I agree with you, mate. We don't know anything, and every time we kind of cast an opinion, it's just based on sort of stuff that formulates in your brain when you're watching the game. You presume it. Yeah. But what I would say is that Gareth Southgate said after the game that he goes, "I get that the England fans would want us to put our foot on the pedal, but we have to qualify from this group, and that's why." The manager of our national team or the club that we love isn't a fan of the club. It's like imagine how emotional we would be if we were taking Spurs into a North London derby. All I could say to him is just fucking get into him. Fucking doesn't matter what happens. Get into him.
I played an emotional derby last weekend with Gazza against our old school friends. We had a reunion with the boys in our year. And we always used to play like the East London boys versus like the North London boys, for example.
Yeah.
We had the reunion last week, mate. 5 minutes in, the emotion overtook Gaza.
Did you get straight in? Got a better of me.
I'm telling you. So, if Gaza was to take Spurs into war against Arsenal, I think he might actually punch Heung-min Son in the face.
Yeah.
Ndombele's getting in a headlock.
Yeah, sometimes.
Talk me through what happened. How did you lose your head?
We had a game. Are we allowed to say what sort of game it was?
Oh, I think we're just East London versus North London.
Yeah, so we had a game like that from old school pals.
Yeah, okay.
From when we go back, there was always this one individual in school that had a big, big mouth. A little bit like myself, but he takes it to another extreme.
Polar opposite. No, not even polar opposite, sorry. They're the exact same, and they was in the same class.
Yes.
So when we used to come up against them at school, it was horrible.
Gazza, yeah, you're carrying through I don't know how old you are, but I imagine we're the same age. 20-year-old, like not a grudge, but like a little, just a thing in your head.
Yeah, mate. So we got the game, and then he's come off injured. The other fella, he's playing for them. He's come off, and he was a running commentary the whole game. But the thing is, the only person he targets is me.
Because he knows he can get at me.
He's got the same issue.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, he did. And my brother was playing, and my brother was getting in the ear a little bit from him as well. And then my brother just done the most dirtiest two-footed tackle on someone, like to the point where he actually said, like the ref had to say to him, look, you're going to have to go off the pitch for that. It's a friendly game. It's like, so he left the pitch. He went, just got the better of me, mate. So, yeah, as Kevin said, don't want to go to war with me.
Trust me. But
I'll tell you what I did do in that game, Flav. I've done a Harry Winks one, yeah? But just inside my own half,
looking for
a cross to the back post. It went right in the top corner.
It was a great
goal. It was a proper Harry Winks
one. I was screaming Winksy at him off the sideline because he subbed me 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
Madge, what do you make of our sort of potential into this tournament? Like, we saw during the World Cup that, you know, during the group stages, you know, Panama, we're always going to roll over Panama. But the other two games were quite close. And then we ended up going to the semi-finals of the World Cup, which I know we're expecting as England fans. We want us to go on and do everything we dream that they could do. But getting to the semi-finals of a World Cup isn't easy. It's not easy.
No.
Right? We're in that situation currently where we're not overly enamoured with what's been happening in the group stages and how well we've been playing. Although I was very confident after the Croatia game. But where are we going to... Well, what's going to happen? Can we win it?
Of course you can win it. Because Greece won it in 2004.
Yeah, but so, we're not as shit as Greece were.
This is what I'm saying, Flav. So if Greece can win it in 2004, then there's no reason why we can't win it. So we haven't seen our potential yet. That's one thing. That's one good thing, that we haven't seen our potential yet. Don't forget, the lads, all of them, have played a lot of football. And that is why I think Harry Kane looks like he's running through treacle. Do you then say, Harry, we're going to rest you for the Czech Republic game?
You can't do that for him. Because he did you see the way he come off yesterday?
He weren't happy.
He weren't happy. Like, no. That would be a big knock for him.
But, you know, he looks leggy. He looks tired. And some of the other players look tired. Because there's been so much football. And everyone forgets how the season, you know, they didn't get pre-season last year. It went on longer last year. This year, same again, it finished later for the boys that have been playing Champions League finals. So, look, anything can happen. We've seen today, Hungary nearly beat France. That was 1-1 in the end. Poor defending from them. They gave away a poor goal for Griezmann to score. But 1-1. Who saw that coming? This is the wonderful thing about knockout football, that anything can happen. And it's just one game. So the one good thing I'd say about England, and to be positive about us, is we do look like a collective. We do look like a group. Those lads look very much like they're enjoying each other's company. And in tournaments gone by, you mentioned the golden generation, Flav. I know from speaking to Dean Ashton, Bobby Zamora, Carlton Cole, all West Ham. I'm like a secret West Ham fan. Speaking to all of those lads who've been called up to the England camp, and all of them said at that time, when you used to go there, you felt like the apprentice, like you weren't kind of in the mixer with them lot, because you'd have Man United over there, Chelsea over there, Arsenal there, no one talks, they're in their cliques, it's so competitive in the league that they're not talking to each other. Whereas now, and I think this is down to social media, because they're all backing each other on socials and leaving little fire emojis. And it's just a generational thing, because they're all on, like, you know, like on the TikTok doing a dance and all that nonsense. That they're actually very well connected. So they seem to enjoy each other's company. So I think as a collective, as a group of players, when it comes to the sort of knockout stages and you're going to start having to throw your body in front of the ball to keep you in a competition, I think these lads will do that for one another, because I think they're actually trusting one another and believe in each other's ability.
Madge, I'm going to ask you the same question that I did just a second ago. Can we win it?
Yeah.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Gazza, can we win it?
Definitely. Look, some of the players that we've got have been, they've been their top players. Phil Foden, Mason Mount, he's just won a Champions League. That Reece James who came in last night. Harry Kane, we're talking about one of the best forwards in Europe. Luke Shaw's playing in a Europa Cup final for Man United, second, whatever. Harry Maguire, £80 million defender. It's there for us, but you've got to be at it, mate, and you've got to turn up. The thing is with Gareth, he's got to find a way to get this team fine. What I mean by team, it's not just about individuals. He needs to create a team and he needs to do it fast.
As you said, Gaz. And I was saying this last night to my dad, and it's ironic that we're Spurs fans as well. Watching England is like watching Spurs.
Definitely.
There's no pattern of play. What's our style? Under Potts, we had an identifiable style that we knew how we played. And even when Jose was doing all right at the start, we knew how he played. England, we don't really have a pattern of play just yet. That's why we need someone like Grealish to start against Czech Republic, have a firing game, take the game to his own, maybe drop a Sterling because, yeah, he scored against Croatia. He got the start against Scotland. Looked poor. Get Rashford in for a bit of pace. Or, as you said, Sancho. Like, the geezer's had, what, only 20 assists and 18 goals in the Bundesliga or something like that? I know it's the Bundesliga, but still.
This is what I'm saying. So when Flav asked the questions, can we win it? Of course we can.
Exactly.
Of course we can. Look at the players that we've got on the bench that are sitting there yesterday. Did you see the player there? There's a little photo. He had Rashford, Grealish and Sancho. Come on. Like, it's some top draw talent there.
And I think this kind of reservation and understanding of the situation is because we're Spurs fans. Like, we know that deep down we're going to fail, right? We're not going to win it.
What do you think, Flav? What team would you like to see? I don't know if we've got time to go. Would you like to see him similar sort of team?
The team isn't the issue. It's the mentality that's been passed down, I think. So, I think the biggest weakness of our, first 11...
Any changes then, would you say, for the next game?
What I would say is that the biggest weakness in our first 11 was the defence, but Tyrone Mings has been our best player, pretty much.
I agree with you. I think he's been very, very good. I've noticed about him, he talks a hell of a lot.
Yeah, he's mustard. He was captain of Chippenham Town about 5 years ago, which is literally
a great story.
30 minutes from where I live right now, and this isn't like Wiltshire isn't a footballing sort of district. We don't produce great players here, but Tyrone Mings was the captain of Chippenham Town, and now he's like really good. And people were like, I think that they were looking at our centre back options and thinking Stones, does he play well without a really good player next to him? Historically, apart from Everton, no. But he was good. And Tyrone Mings has been really good. And I think that genuinely he's such a fucking unit as well. We've got a player there that can solve that defensive issue if there even is one. So if the defensive problem, the centre-back pairing isn't the issue, then the issue is releasing our ability and our passion and our flamboyancy going forward. And if we can do that, I would play Mings, Stones, I'd play probably Trent, and I would say maybe...
Trent's injured, don't he?
No, sorry, not Trent. Who played right? No, it was Reece James. Walker, sorry, mate. So we play Walker, and then we play... I'd probably stick with Shaw, or if Trippier worked,
I thought Trippier worked the other night. I thought Shaw was useless.
You could even go Ben Chilwell there.
I know.
And that's what I'm talking about, options. Like, it's another top left back there. Easily come in.
The most important thing is that midfield. Are you going to have two holders? Against Italy, you'd have two holders. Against France,
You don't need Calvin Phillips and Rice. For me.
Well, not against France, fucking Scotland. No, just go out and get it. And is he going to go out and get it? But, we're in the group stages. He's doing what we need to do to get through this segment of the competition. And maybe we can go into the next game and have a different approach. Or maybe being pragmatic and defensive against, if we draw them, France, Italy, Holland, whoever it might be, in the next round, maybe that pragmatic approach and getting a couple of opportunities and relying on the quality of Calvert-Lewin or Kane might be enough to get through. or it won't.
Bit of a knock for Calvert-Lewin last night, wasn't it? I suppose. I know Rashford's been bought. That's probably why we only bought one other forward like Calvert-Lewin as opposed to Kane. Rashford coming on instead of him. You could have easily have put Calvert-Lewin on there yesterday for Kane, couldn't you?
But there was no service. There was no point.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm trying to get is, he's the other forward to come in. He could have come on. Rashford was awful up front when he came on.
Yeah, but if you're managing that game, you're looking at what chances Kane had. There was a couple of balls in behind, but not much. Like,
that's what I said about earlier about Flav, about the pace. Like, pace is important with Harry. Like, he needs players, especially how he likes to drop in. He needs players that are capable of going beyond him. Do you know what I mean? And him slipping him in. I just think we've got to find a way of using Harry so much better. He just looks so isolated to me.
I think that's what I feel
watching that game yesterday. Find a way of using Harry to and using his attributes better.
It was like watching a Spurs game, right? A few years ago at Wembley. I think we was playing someone like Swansea. And you know when they used to just bank up against us because they just want a point?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to break down that two banks of four.
Yeah.
And then, like, Harry is just absolutely missing for the whole game. That can happen because, as you say, Gaz, he's isolated. That's why in those moments there, you need someone to get in behind. Yeah. If you can get someone in behind them.
Definitely.
But that's where your pace and your fullbacks come from if you've got Kyle Walker. Do you know what I mean?
Indeed, boys. We'll see. We will see. But I'm almost 99% convinced that within the next 3 weeks, at the end of the next 3 weeks, England will be crowned European champions.
Love that.
Yep. And then Spurs next season. I know it's mental.
Will you let me come on your podcast again, Flav, if we win the final?
Gaz, you can come on the podcast when we lose to fucking Brentford next year because no one will want to. And you'll be more than
welcome. I tell you, you've gave me the prime slot there. I love that.
No, mate, absolutely, both of you are welcome. And, you know, thanks for coming on here. You're both legends. And I listen to Same Old Spurs podcast, and as should you. Guys, if you listen to this and you enjoy the Fighting Cock, the same vibe happens over on Same Old Spurs. So, yeah.
Mate, your podcast is the GOAT. I always say it to you, the GOAT of Spurs podcasts. I've always said it. That's what it is, mate.
God bless you, mate. God bless you. Madge, congratulations on all your success. Gaza, I don't know anything about all of the successes you've had in your life, but I hope to learn them soon.
Well, the success was last week winning that grudge match. 4-3. He guided us to victory.
Did you notch as well? Did you go through a couple of bods?
Mate, he had a great game at right back. I won't lie.
Love done it. All right, dude.
Absolutely love it. Was it 11 aside?
11 aside, brother, on a very hot day. Even our old head of year came and watched.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a lovely day. It was a really nice day. And Louis works on the podcast with us. I think he's done about 1,000+ photos.
Yeah, brilliant.
Which was nice to have. A lovely memento for sure.
Can we see these? Are these online? Can we see them?
They're on, I think, you put them on your socials, guys.
Yeah, there's a few flicking around, yeah. We'll put them up.
All right.
We'll put a few up on our Same Old Spurs pod.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do we find you guys? Like, people listen to this who want to get a bit more Imagined Gaz.
If you want some more Imagined Gaz, head over to @Majestic Online. Same Old Spurs Pod is the handle for the pod. And what's your Insta?
Do you know what? I don't even know.
I love that.
That is so Gaz in terms of technology.
Yeah, like, but I'll tell you what, honesty is always the best policy.
He doesn't even know his handle. Follow him. It's actually Anthony_King_SOS. Very easy.
There you go. All right, boys.
That's
thank you
Anthony
so much.
_King_SOS.
You know what would be great? If we could meet up for a pint in during the summer. Maybe
100%. Definitely, yeah, we'll do that.
I'd love that.
We need to do the same old Spurs of Fighting Cock All-Stars versus like some other pod, like an Arsenal pod or something.
What, play football against them?
Yeah.
Gaz is a lunatic. He's going to fucking kill one of them, isn't he?
Nah.
He will.
Honestly, I couldn't think of anything worse than playing football against especially Gunnar ain't that good.
Like, what we could do then, Flav, is we could actually do a Same Old Spurs against the Fighting Cock.
Oh, little five-a-side. I like
we're
it.
We're old.
All in
we're
the good age. We'll old. Have a beer after. No, we'll have a beer after.
We're old.
We're old too.
How old are you?
34.
Yeah, I got 5 years on you.
Yeah, but we don't worry about that.
How old are you, Gaz?
34.
I'm going to bring a 40-year-old.
We ain't playing you. Like 5 years is like a lifetime when you can't get into your 40s.
To be fair, right. I'm not being funny. I feel it as well. Like when you get older, you really feel it.
Like I played 3 times this week. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Gaz, what you playing?
I love it. Ask Gaz how much I love playing football.
Yeah, mate, this guy's crazy. You're just mad.
We ain't played football in like, I don't know, look, the Fighting Cock Lads ain't played football in at least 5 years. You just played football three times this week.
We have to agree on a beer then. A beer it is.
All right, a beer. Gaz, just if like imagine if someone just sort of tread on your Achilles. Like, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah,
you lose yourself. Problem. Would you lose yourself?
Yeah.
Mate, we all have heads gone. I had a heads gone about 3 weeks ago where I just started screaming at Gaz.
Yeah, he did. All right.
Well, that's what happens when you're good friends with people. You know, there's a parameter of acceptability in there.
Yeah, there really is.
All right, boys, thank you so much.
Yes,
Flav, top man, mate. Cheers.
No, legends. And I'd love, like I say, I'd love to meet you in the flesh and have a beer.
Definitely. Soon, mate.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.